and Americans for the Arts.
This is an editorial statement from the Nathan B. Stubblefield Foundation Board of Directors. The Equal Rights Amendment has been on the table for states' ratification since 1972. That is close to 50 years. A two-thirds ratification of the states, meaning 38 states, is required for passage. 37 have ratified the ERA, but Florida is not one of them. The amendment reads, quote, "Equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex. Passage would ensure that all people, regardless of gender, are assured of no discrimination in terms of property, employment, divorce, and other such matters." Let's be proactive. Start contacting your elected Florida representatives and senators to vote yes on the concurrent ERA resolutions to ensure equality for all Americans.
Welcome to Midpoint Monday on 88.5 FM and WMNF.org. You might also be listening on the free WMNF smartphone app. I'm Sean Canaan. Today we're going to hear a conversation about sex education in schools. As you can expect, the discussion gets pretty heated, so I hope you can stay tuned. What do you think? Do you think sex ed in Florida should be taught abstinence only? The best way to let us know is by email or text. You can email DJ at WMNF.org or text 813-433-0885. Before we begin, we're going to listen to a comment that was left by a listener about my last show. Last Monday was Veterans Day. I played part of a speech by President Trump. Here's how one caller responded.
Hi, my name is Julie and I'm calling from Bradenton. I was just calling because I think it's really disgusting how Trump can speak on Veterans Day after he just had this big debacle of ripping off veterans and having to pay a $2 million fine. I just wanted to say, like, is that not just disgusting? Had Obama done that, wouldn't he go to jail? I mean, this is like, this president gets away with everything. Bye-bye.
Well, that was one comment that was left by our listener after last week's show. That show is on our website, WMNF.org/news. Later on in the broadcast, I'm going to give out the number for you to leave a voicemail about today's show if you'd like. I'll play that next show. You can always listen to previous shows, comment on the stories on our website, WMNF.org, or you can join us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at WMNF News. And again, I'm going to give out the DJ at WMNF.org email address and the text 813-433-0885. So as you listen to this conversation, this panel discussion that happened a few days ago, you can write in your remarks and I'll read them on the air. Hillsborough County Public Schools is testing a sex education curriculum in certain schools. This hour, we're going to hear from a conservative activist who is fighting against that curriculum because it does not exclusively teach abstinence only. We'll also hear from several health experts who say that instead of abstinence only, a more comprehensive sex education curriculum has better health outcomes. What do you think? I might not get too many calls, so again, email and text are the best ways. This conversation happened 3 days ago at Tampa Tiger Bay Club. We're going to hear from Damaris Allen. She's president of the Hillsborough County Council PTA, PTSA, the Parent Teacher Association. We'll also hear from Ashley Capucci. She's a physical education supervisor for K-12 in Hillsborough schools. She helped prepare the sex education curriculum. We'll hear from Paula First. She's with Planned Parenthood. She's their outreach educator for Sarasota Manatee. We'll hear from Dr. Lindsay Grove, an instructor in health sciences at USF St. Pete. And we'll also hear from Terry Kempel, who is president of Community Issues Council. The first question here comes from moderator Yvonne Fry. Just want to remind you that you are listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa, WMNF's Midpoint Monday. I'm Sean Canaan. If during this conversation you have a thought, give us an email, dj at WMNF.org or text 813-433-0885.
Why is this important that we're talking about this now? And in 90 seconds, if you can answer that and anything else that you feel like we need to know to start to frame this out.
So the reason this is so important, I'm the parent, in addition to being the president of the PTA, I'm the parent of two high school students. And the reality is if we don't give our children the right information, they're going to find that information elsewhere. And so our kids haven't had a comprehensive sex education curriculum in their schools. So they're getting informed from their friends, their parents. And while I educate my children, I don't know that my friends do or their friends do. So they're being put at risk because they don't have a full understanding of what they're engaging in.
Hi, Ashley Capucci. It's really important now for us as a district because our current YRBS youth risk behavior survey results came out and our numbers are pretty alarming. So we want to make sure that we're approaching that and meeting the needs of all students. And also, currently, we've had sexual health education for years, but we don't know what it looks like from school to school. So our approach is really trying to make sure we know what's being taught from school to school. It's medically accurate. It's aligned with our board policy and the state policy.
I'm Paola First with Planned Parenthood, and this is so important because young people deserve honest, accurate, age-appropriate information when it comes to their bodies, relationships, and sex. We know I have the privilege of working with young people and teaching classes, and they are curious, they have questions, and oftentimes when we ask young people, well, where are you learning about relationships and sex? The answer is pornography. The internet. It's alarming, it's concerning, and so we want to make sure that young people get the information, and while we encourage parents to be that primary sexuality educator for their children and teens, we want to make sure that they're still getting that information, that all young people should get this information, and so that's why it's super important. I'm really looking forward to having this conversation today.
It's really hard to come after the three of you. I'm Dr. Lindsay Grove. I am from USF St. Pete, and I teach health sciences, but I'm also a practitioner in public health, and I've been a sex educator for 10 years, and I can tell you that the research is very clear. Comprehensive sex ed is not only effective, but it actually does delay first sexual initiation. We know that when young people have the resources, information, and the skills to be able to make healthy choices, they will do so. We see that time and time again across many different medical disciplines. The American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists recommend comprehensive sex ed as a strategy to prevent negative sexual health outcomes. And that's especially important here in the Tampa Bay region. Just recently, the Centers for Disease Control targeted 7 counties in our state because of our extremely high new HIV infection rates. Hillsborough and Pinellas are 2 of those counties, and the new infection rates are happening to kids 15 to 24. The HIV epidemic is not over, and we need to give our kids the tools and information to be able to protect themselves and make decisions that are in their best interest, because we trust kids, and we also want to keep them safe. And that's all I have to say.
So I have a question. Do I get 4 times the time here? Laugh a little bit, folks. Let's lighten up. Anyway, my name is Terry Kemple, and I'm president of Community Issues Council. And Community Issues Council is the founder of the Protect Our Children Project. We have projects going on in Pinellas County, Pasco County, and Hillsborough County. I happen to wear this t-shirt because Pasco County is the first one with a website. If you'd like to find out more about us, please go to protectpascochildren.org. Sex ed really falls into 2 streams. There's comprehensive sex ed, CSE, there's sexual risk reduction, SRR, and there's abstinence plus. All 3 fall into the same stream. And from the perspective of someone who has been following this issue for, probably 25 years, the way that those 3 doctrines work is to say, you should be abstinent, because it's really the best way. And in fact, it is the best way. But then they go on to say, but because we know you're going to have sex, you should use a condom. I don't know about you, but I was 14, I was 15, I was 16. In the heat of battle, the likelihood of being properly dressed is not always highest on the list. I'm just saying. The other stream is sexual risk avoidance or abstinence. And those really do teach kids that there are better things that you can experience in your life if you don't engage in early sex, if you don't engage in violence, if you don't engage in...
Thank you. I do have one follow-up question, because I don't know that we got to what... You mentioned it, Ashley, and I'm going to come back to you if you don't mind. You mentioned the report that really has opened up a shift in the conversation and evaluation, like you said, of standardization of protocol across our schools and what is being taught that addresses the things in that report. Could you just share with us, you give us, what is that report that is driving this evaluation and what might occur as changes?
Sure. So the youth risk behavior survey was administered to 27 of our high schools this past year. And so what it did is it asked questions from, you know, do you eat bananas or do you eat apples? So it goes anything from nutrition all the way through sexual health, suicide, and it asked students specific questions regarding those topics. In our sexual health section, you know, students are reporting that they are sexually active. They're reporting that they are using contraceptives. And so that's just, those numbers were high enough for us to say, do they know the correct information about that, those behaviors? Are they using them correctly?
Did it go so far as to STDs, pregnancies, things
like
that?
It does. It goes into, have they ever been tested for an STD or STI? And so it does ask those type of questions.
Okay. So that was really the impetus of us beginning to evaluate.
Yes, seeing the numbers and really starting to align with our policy and what the state is saying.
Okay. Terry, I think you had one more follow up on that, and then we're going to turn to questions from the audience.
Sure. So here's the youth risk behavior survey comes from the CDC. How you approach this issue depends on mindset. So this is the mindset of the CDC. Here's question number one. How old are you? 12 years old or younger, and then other ages. So they're expecting kids 12 years old or younger to answer this. Another question. Have you ever been physically forced to have sexual intercourse when you did not want to? Another question. During the past 12 months, how many times did someone you were dating or going out with force you to do sexual things that you did not want to do? Another question. How old were you when you had sexual intercourse for the first time? Another question. During your life, with how many people have you had sexual intercourse? Last question. During the past 3 months, with how many people did you have sexual intercourse? Does that sound like they're wanting these kids not to have sex? It certainly doesn't sound that way to me.
That was Terry Kempel, president of the conservative group Community Issues Council. This is Lindsay Grove, who teaches health sciences at USF St. Pete.
So in response to that, I mean, I think that it's really important to recognize that there are kids that are having sex at young ages. Unfortunately, a lot of times it can be from sex abuse. And when we create an environment where it's not okay or it's shameful to talk about sex, it's a lot harder for kids to come forward and report sexual abuse. Asking these questions is actually really important when we think about public health and we think about keeping our kids safe, because we need to know what the numbers actually are. And in fact, many times, you know, this might be the only time that they may actually report something happening to them. And if we don't have a baseline as to what's happening, whether it's, you know, physical activity or diabetes education or, you know, risky sexual behavior, we don't actually have an accurate picture of how we should intervene and, you know, be able to provide evidence-based, inclusive, comprehensive sex ed just as one of the prevention strategies to address some of these negative outcomes.
This is Planned Parenthood's Paola First.
I just wanted to add, when we talk about comprehensive sex education, it goes way beyond sex. It's about giving young people information so they are equipped to navigate friendships, relationships. It gives them skills so they can make healthy decisions for their future. So that's what comprehensive means. It's about letting all people feel comfortable in their bodies and supporting them and teaching acceptance. So when we talk about comprehensive sex education, it's not just focusing on risk, how to prevent pregnancy or how to prevent STDs or STIs. Of course, we're doing that by giving people information so they can make more informed decisions, but it's also just giving them information so that they can be safe. So it's talking about boundaries, talking about consent, talking about healthy relationships. So it's beyond just sex, because the research shows that when young people have information, they are more likely to delay sex and make healthier decisions once they become sexually active.
Now we hear from Damaris Allen, president of the Hillsborough PTA.
And I just want to say, from a parent's perspective, I need more voices than just mine speaking into the life of my child. And I need positive voices that are going to reinforce the things that I am saying, because then they're less likely. We're in this together. We're a community together. And I think it's important to have not just parents, not just the parents' friends, but the teachers and the counselors saying the same things to our kids.
Well, that was Damaris Allen. She's president of the Hillsborough County Council PTA and PTSA, the Parent Teacher Association and Student Association, and you're listening to a discussion about Hillsborough County Public Schools and their testing a sex education curriculum in certain schools. Do we need a more comprehensive sex education curriculum, or should it be abstinence only? That's the discussion, really, that we're going to be having this hour with these five guests that were speaking at Tampa Tiger Bay Club on Friday. You're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa, WMNF.org, and the WMNF app. This is Midpoint Monday. I'm Sean Canaan. And the next question is we're going to hear from a couple more questions coming up right now. Again, Damaris Allen, president of Hillsborough County PTA, Ashley Capucci with Hillsborough Schools, Paola First with Planned Parenthood, Lindsay Grove with USF St. Pete, and Terry Kemple, president of Community Issues Council, are the five panelists. So let's hear more from this discussion. If you'd like to text in your response, text us at 813-433-0885. Make sure you put your name and where you're from. Also, dj@wmnf.org is how you can send us an email.
My question is, with the diversity of the families, different values that different families have, different viewpoints and shoes which they stand with our kids of different sexual orientations, at what point does the school district have a definitive line of, are we just giving medically accurate information? Or where do we start crossing that line, going into more about the relationships, more into morals, values, all of that stuff? So where does that line?
This is PTA President Damaris Allen.
So as a parent, anything that the school is presenting to my child, whether it's sex education, general education, my kids come home and we talk about it, right? Because whatever they're presenting, it's my job to go back and have a conversation with them, to ask them difficult questions, to ask them so that they can develop their belief system, they can develop their understanding, right? I'm not interested in recreating a little me. The world does not need another one of those. And so I think it's important to remember, just because the school says it or a teacher says it doesn't mean that we should take it for granted. And what an excellent opportunity to teach our children critical thinking, because that is something that is greatly lost today. They just assume that what they are being told is accurate. So I teach my children to question things, to research them, to find out for yourself. And so I'm not afraid of the school district saying something that I disagree with, because I know we'll have conversation and growth will happen out of that.
Up next is Ashley Capucci with Hillsborough Schools.
So as a district, what we've really done is met with over 100 stakeholders. And really, we know that we're now the seventh largest district in the United States. And so we had to hear from both sides. And we designed something for our students by us with committee members that we feel is at middle ground. And that it hears both sides, but it's providing students with the information they need to know to make decisions that are right for them. And that also includes an extension activity that we have them do, where they bring it home to their parent or guardian. So whatever they've learned in the classroom, that extension of that learning, the conversation now can happen at home. I wanted to also talk about your inclusiveness comment. We've really made sure that all of our activities are inclusive of our LGBTQ students and of all race and all ethnicity, beliefs, religious values. So we've really developed that middle line, and we feel like we've developed something that could be best for all.
This is Planned Parenthood's Paola First.
So Planned Parenthood is actually the largest provider of sex education in the country, and we teach values-neutral education. So we provide medically accurate information. So we're just answering questions with the facts. And we always encourage parents to be that primary sexuality educator for their children. So just yesterday, I was at a middle school, and I was working with eighth grade students, and I had three anonymous questions that were, how can I tell my mom, or how can I talk to my parents about someone that I like? So by having sex education, we're actually empowering young people to reach out to their parents and caregivers and have these conversations. So that's really what it's all about, because we're not trying to replace parenting. That's not what we're doing by doing sex education. Sex education is education. So by doing this, we're really creating a space where kids can have conversations, and piggybacking off of what you said, teaching critical thinking skills and differences, and really creating that safe space for all young people. Thank you.
This is Lindsay Grove, who teaches health sciences at USF St. Pete.
If you're looking for, you know, evidence-based curriculum that's been, you know, tested rigorously through randomized controlled trials and that sort of thing, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Service and their Office of Adolescent Health actually has a compendium of all different types of sexual risk reduction, as well as just teen pregnancy prevention curriculum that have been tested. And they actually give a study rating for each of those things. So you can go in, look at each curriculum, and really sort of decide what's best based on the setting you're in, based on, you know, how often you want to meet, that sort of thing. So I would highly recommend using that. The CDC actually also has a similar compendium that's focused on HIV prevention, and they do the same thing where they do have a study rating. I would just quickly like to point out, too, that not every kid has a parent at home that's willing to speak to them. And so I think that's why it's really, thank you. I think that's why it's also really important that schools do their best, and they do, to try and really make sure that they're filling the gap with good information and skills to help kids protect themselves.
This is Terry Kempel, president of the conservative group Community Issues Council.
Okay, so first of all, about inclusiveness, the curriculum, I did get an opportunity to review the curriculum. I only pulled about 30 pages out of the eighth grade curriculum because it was, I wouldn't have given it to my kids. I have five daughters, I have 13 grandchildren, and I have eight great-grandchildren. Some of them are in Hillsborough County Schools. So I know a little bit about kids. I've been doing what I do for 25 years. I know a little bit about people. In the ninth grade curriculum is this guide. It's the LGBTQ plus resource guide for support for staff. So I went through the guide. Now, somebody who doesn't know anything about this issue, like I said, I've been dealing with it for 25 years. Someone who doesn't know about this issue would look at the guide and say, oh, that's good. Well, I looked at the guide, and it's full of misinformation and outright lies. I told the superintendent, Superintendent Akins, about some of the lies. He went to his attorney, and his attorney said, you know, that is incorrect information. So there will be at least a modified version of this that's somewhat closer to the truth. This is the resource guide that's to be inclusive for everybody except those whose values don't include acknowledging LGBTQ.
That was Terry Kempel making a controversial statement. Up next is Ashley Capucci with the Hillsborough School District.
One rebuttal.
So the guide is embedded within our curriculum as a resource strictly for teachers. So when teachers are having a student who may go to them, they know they have their resource that is district-wide, and it puts us all in line with each other when we have students who are of the LGBTQ community. So that's why that guide is embedded in there, because we want to make sure that all of our teachers have the same resource and that we're all on the same page.
Thank you all for being here. I'm Lynn Gray, and I'm an educator, and I've written many curriculums.
Lynn Gray is on the Hillsborough School Board.
Education is the best conduit for making the best choices for our kids. It's through education. So my question is, we have the curriculum and we have an accountability system. How do we know, and Ashley or any of you can submit your answers, how do we know that this curriculum, which is quite expansive and health-based, I appreciate the health-based questions, how will the public know that this curriculum does serve the objectives of safe sex and better outcomes? It's a general question.
So we always welcome the public to be open to meet with us to view the curriculum. But when the curriculum is being embedded, what our job is we'll go and do observations of our teachers teaching. We'll take notes of what students are saying, what teachers are saying. And we're also going to receive feedback from not only parents, students, and teachers to say what really worked well and what could we change or what could we add in. And so that's something that we'll do through those measurements and to make sure that we can, over time, sustain something that's really meeting the needs of our students. And also the overall grant goal is to decrease the numbers of our STD and STI rates and HIV.
Well, that was Ashley Capucci. She's a physical education supervisor for K through 12 education in Hillsborough School. She helped prepare the sex education curriculum that we're talking about this hour. You're listening to a conversation about Hillsborough County public schools that are testing a sex education curriculum. Should sex ed in Florida be abstinence only, or should it be comprehensive sex ed? We're taking your comments on Midpoint Monday on 88.5 FM and WMNF.org and on the WMNF app. My name is Sean Canan. You're listening to a discussion that happened 3 days ago at Tampa Tiger Bay Club. Along with Ashley Cappucci, we have panelist Damaris Allen, president of the Hillsborough County PTA, Paola First with Planned Parenthood Outreach Coordinator, Dr. Lindsay Grove, an instructor in health sciences at USF St. Pete, and Terry Kemple, president of Community Issues Council. And one of the things that Kemple just said is going to be brought up later. He said that it is what if this curriculum is not inclusive for everyone, like people who don't acknowledge LGBTQ? And so someone's going to ask him about that later, if you were wondering. What do you think about that? The email is dj@wmnf.org. The text is 813-433-0885. It's 12:31 in the afternoon. Let's get back to some more of this sex education discussion that happened the other day. You're listening to 88.5 FM.
Hi, my name's Wendy DePaul. I have a son who's 18 years old, and you know, sex education, we have a very open relationship, so sex education was, you know, something that he understood. But I feel like a lot of kids' decisions on whether they're going to be sexually active has to do with their personal and moral structure, which comes from their parents. So what are we doing as a school to try and get the parents involved in the sex education?
This is Ashley Cappucci with the Hillsborough County School District.
So really having community nights and parent nights and being part of the parent nights, and also within our curriculum, we've embedded that student taking it home back to their parents or guardians and having that conversation. Really with embedded within the curriculum is students learning about communication skills and also how to use those communication skills to assertively communicate with their parents about what's going on with their bodies, what they're feeling, who they want to date, and also really taking in perspective that our students are going to make decisions, but they are going to make decisions for what's best for them and their family, and we respect that as a district.
This is PTA President Damaris Allen.
I was just going to say that part of the challenge with having your kids communicate just on the issue of sexual health is that really starts in preschool. You need to have your kids have a relationship with your child that begins in the beginning, where they have open communication, where you have honest communication. If you don't communicate with your kids about the little things, you're not going to communicate with them about the big things, and vice versa. So really, the horse is out of the gate if we're just talking about equipping parents to communicate with their kids when this issue comes up. We really need to start in the very beginning, and that's one of the things that PTA can do and can help with.
This is Planned Parenthood's Paola First.
I just wanted to add, we provide a lot of parent education online and in person because a lot of parents didn't receive sex education when they were growing up. We have a lot of adults that are walking around and don't really understand how their bodies work or how to have the conversations because no one ever talked to them about it. So I have the privilege of working in a lot of spaces with adults and doing parent workshops and teaching the importance of having age-appropriate conversations. It's not just the talk. It's a series of many ongoing conversations that starts before children can even talk to prevent childhood sexual abuse, to prevent unhealthy relationships, and to allow children to feel okay in their bodies. So that is what it's all about, is really parents can have these conversations if they don't have the tools. So that's something we do. And our website, plannedparenthood.org, has a lot of really good information that's age appropriate to equip parents to have those conversations.
This is Lindsay Grove, who teaches health sciences at USF St. Pete.
I would just also like to point out there are a lot of great resources like the Centers for Disease Control, Planned Parenthood, Advocates for Youth, that provide the same kind of information and educational resources that they would provide to your kids that are also available to parents. You know, I always like to ask people, take a second and think about when you were 13 or 14, your mindset, right? Don't you wish that you had the same kind of, you know, information and knowledge and skills that you have now to be able to navigate relationships? Parents are not only there to give information, but they're also there to model, right? We need to model good behavior for our kids. Mm-hmm. And so having open, honest conversations, modeling what a healthy relationship looks like, even though sometimes that can be hard, those are really, really important things that we can do for our kids, even outside of, you know, providing information.
This is Terry Kemple, president of the conservative group Community Issues Council.
So I want to go back to Board Member Gray's question about making sure that people were involved or included. And I want to point to the state stat. There's actually a number of state statutes that say the same thing. They say teach abstinence from sexual activity outside of marriage as the expected standard for all school-age students. So that appears numerous times throughout the Florida statutes. When I first reviewed the curriculum that was presented, and I realize it was reviewed, and I've seen the revision to the ninth grade, but when I first reviewed it, there were no lessons about abstinence, zero. In the eighth grade curriculum, the word abstinence appeared five times. Two times it appeared in a list of things that you don't want to bully people for. Two times it appeared in a list of things that you can be considered contraceptives. One time it was briefly said this is the best way to avoid getting pregnant and getting STDs. So that's the lip service I'm talking about.
Oh. If you don't mind. Okay. Thank you.
Mimi Osiason, and this is for Mr. Kemple. You said that the eighth grade curriculum included everybody except those that don't acknowledge LGBT. So my question to you is, by not acknowledging LGBT, do you think that those people are going to go away?
So that's like a Hobson's choice question. So let me just answer it this way. There are people who don't believe in the whole homosexual agenda spectrum mentality. There are people who don't believe that that's appropriate, especially not in school, not to be teaching our kids to talk about those issues. I'm going to give you a specific. So we've got Protect Pasco Children. In Pasco County, girls who say they're boys are allowed to go in the boys' bathrooms, locker rooms, and showers. And boys who say they're girls are allowed to go in the girls' bathrooms, locker rooms, and showers. A good friend of mine, who was a football player when he was in high school, said, man, if the football team would have heard that when we were in school, we would have all been girls. Is that right? Is that something that you want your kids being exposed to? I don't. I don't think that's right.
Ashley, please.
Sure. So we're talking about sexual health education, and we're going back to our data. And our data really states that our LGBTQ youth, they're also engaging in risky behaviors. And so if we don't make our classroom, because in Hillsborough County, we teach all students. We're a large district. So if we don't use our numbers and we don't speak to all of our students, studies have said LGBTQ youth will feel like the education's not for them. So we want to make sure not just LGBTQ youth are involved, but religiously, if we've included that in our respect for others. We've included race. We've included bullying. We just want a creative environment that's conducive for learning for all students so that they can receive this information. And then if they stand up or they say something in that classroom, they're not made fun of, no matter what they believe in.
That was Ashley Cappucci. Up next is Dr. Lindsay Grove with USF St.
Pete. I'd also like to add on to that when we prevent inclusive classrooms, we're also creating an environment that increases negative health outcomes for our LGBTQ kids. We know that they have higher rates of suicide, self-harm, and when we create inclusive classrooms, we validate who they are. And that's really, really important to their mental health. We're in the midst of a mental health epidemic when it comes to either substance abuse or just, you know, higher rates of depression amongst our kids. You can look at the same data from the YRBSS to see that we have really high rates of negative mental health outcomes. And that extends into the classroom. So when we provide information that helps kids not only make good decisions, but also validates who they are, it increases their mental health and also prevents things like suicide and self-harm.
Well, that's Dr. Lindsay Grove. She's an instructor in health sciences at USF St. Pete. And we're hearing from other people, other panelists at this Tampa Tiger Bay Club meeting from 3 days ago. They were talking about Hillsborough County Public Schools who are testing a sex education curriculum in certain schools. And this debate is whether sex ed in Florida should be abstinence only or if there should be more of a comprehensive sex ed. And I would like to know what you think. You can email us at dj@wmnf.org or text 813-433-0885. My name is Sean Canaan. I'm the host of Midpoint Monday. It's 12:40 in the afternoon, and we're going to hear more from this discussion in just a second. I want to read one of the texts that came in, and I want to ask what you think. Do you think there should be a comprehensive sex education curriculum, or do you think it should be abstinence only? And David writes in, he says, and I'll just read what he says. I'll probably edit it a little bit. He says, Terry Kemple is kind of a Jack blank. I hate hearing him talk because he lies and says a lot of half-truths. He learned the best gaslighting techniques from our fair president, Donald Trump. So that's an email that came in from David. Thank you for that. And we're going to hear more from this discussion right now. In fact, this section will start with a question from Shelley Reback, one of the hosts of Midpoint Thursday. You're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa, WMNF.org.
My name is Rochelle Reback. On August 1st, I had a show on this topic on WMNF, and I was fortunate to have Ashley Cappucci as one of my guests. One of the questions that came up on that show I want to reiterate for this audience, there's been a lot of talk about how comfortable parents are about talking about these issues with their kids. One of the things I was astounded to learn from you, Ms. Cappucci, on my show, was that this curriculum, whatever it is not necessarily mandated in its full form in every classroom for that age student in the Hillsborough, across the Hillsborough County school system. And we have teachers who are more or less comfortable with the material that can make adaptions to this curriculum, leave stuff out, for example, or introduce their own values and morals. I want to know, has any change been made to that in terms of, is it now mandatory that the curriculum, whatever it is, be taught as is, or can teachers opt out of sections of it across the system?
So currently right now, we don't know what's being taught at Jefferson High School versus Plant. And so developing and having consistent lessons, we want to make sure that we know what's being taught. So we really encourage our teachers, if they're not comfortable teaching a section, to call either myself, and I work closely with Lauren Woodward in the district, and we'll come in and co-teach with you or teach a lesson for you. So they have that option. We also have for our parents opting out. They can opt out. And so we wanted just to make sure that we put that message out there. Parents are the first line that can make the decision for their students, but we do have the opt-out policy that is aligned with what the state also is saying.
Hi, my name is Rachel Rapkin, and in addition to being a parent of a Hillsborough County student, I'm also a board-certified OBGYN. So I talk about science and I talk about sex all day long. And what the science appears to show us is that in places such as Texas, which has one of the most robust abstinence-only curriculums, it's not working. So they have higher rates of teen pregnancy. They have higher rates of teens having sex than the rest of the country. So in light of that, my question is, are there any organizations that do not believe that we should be teaching comprehensive sex ed? And what is the push, in fact, to not teach comprehensive sex ed? Why wouldn't we want to, as you say, protect our students?
Dr. Lindsay Grove with USF St. Pete is the first up.
I mean, that's a great question. Typically, I think of the organizations that are for it, right? Like the Sexuality Information and Education Council for the United States, Advocates for Youth. We see, you know, a lot of times when we talk about sex education, you know, because there's such a moralistic and sort of, you know, values-centered perspective put on this, because sex is taboo, sex is related to religion, sex is related to intimacy, right? People get really up in arms about it. But when you just look at the science, it's very, very clear, just as you've said, which is why I think it's important for, you know, schools can provide information, you know, organizations that are focused on this topic can provide information, but it's really the parents that provide context, right? They're the ones that provide the moral and values-based context for their kids. And I think a lot of the push just really focuses on misinformation, to be honest.
This is Planned Parenthood's Paola First.
I just wanted to add, if people spent time in classrooms working with young people and teaching sex ed, they would understand why it's so important. And there's many parents in this room, and I understand that as parents, we want our children to be safe. We want them to get educated, and that's what school is all about, is safety and education and a learning space. And so I think sometimes people focus so much on sex, and again, I can't stress enough that sexuality is so much more than sex. It's about relationships, it's about self-esteem, communications, how people feel in their bodies, it's about reproduction. You know, there are so many young people that don't understand what it means to have a period, or that if someone is menstruating, they can carry a pregnancy. So we are failing our children by not giving this information. So if someone can convince me otherwise, I don't understand the pushback, because the science is showing that when young people have information, they are going to make better decisions about their bodies. It's really that simple. That's what the research is showing.
Up next is Damaris Allen, president of Hillsborough County Council PTA.
So you asked why we don't have this, embrace this. And I think it's really all about fear. We're really afraid that if we say something or do something, that it'll change the course of the future and our kids are gonna engage in risky behavior. But the data shows otherwise. And a lot of times fear is unfounded and it's not based on fact. And so we really have to continually move from our feelings and move to reality. And that is based on data and fact. Also, we don't like to have uncomfortable conversations. If I'm really honest, this is the last place on the planet I want to be right now. This is uncomfortable. But uncomfortable conversations are important, and it's often the uncomfortable conversations that are the ones that we need to have, but we have a tendency to avoid.
Terry Campbell's up next.
So she feels uncomfortable. I think that's funny. No, not nothing for you, but I'm a little bit I guess behind the curve here too, with four versus my position on this. But I want to say a couple of things. First, data, you have to look at where the data comes from before you can believe the data. I've got two national surveys, one from the CDC and one from the Barna Group, that say 60% of students have never had sex. So that means we're catering to the 40% to try. I mean, I don't know exactly why we would do this. Let's encourage those 60% to continue not having sex and do it in a positive way, and also try to help the 40% that are already having sex get out of having sex. And that's something that can be done. 82%, you think that's funny? That's serious. 82% of students who had sexual risk reduction or CSE education said that it was mostly about condoms and not getting pregnant. 38% said when they had CSE, they were felt they were expected to have sex. 42% of 18, 19-year-olds said that they didn't want to be told they were expected to have sex. That's what comprehensive sex ed does.
That's Terry Kempel, the president of Community Issues Council. We've also been hearing from Dr. Lindsay Grove, an instructor in health sciences at USF St. Pete. We've been hearing from Paola First from Planned Parenthood, Ashley Capucci from the Hillsborough County School District, and Damaris Allen, president of the Hillsborough PTA. You're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa, WMNF.org, and the WMNF app. My name is Sean Canaan, and this is Midpoint Monday, and we're having a discussion about sex education in Florida. Do you think it should be abstinence only, or should there be a more comprehensive sex education curriculum? And this is the discussion that we're having. Let's hear from the panelists at least one more time, and we'll take your comments as well. 813-433-0885 is the text number. DJ@WMNF.org is the email. Here's more from the questioners and the panelists.
Teresa Miller, I do a lot of work in drug prevention. And one of the things we learned is we can help children have the skills and the strategies to say no to drugs. The longer they put off using drugs, the less likelihood there'll be addiction. And it seems to be true today that if we could teach our children reasons why not to have sex, that not only would they not get pregnant, but also they wouldn't have these STDs, which years ago when I was growing up, there were 5. Now there's 30. And some of them are not curable. So you guys keep saying data and research. Are you going to put your data and research online where I can get it? Because I couldn't find any yesterday, that some of the points you're making. And what evidence-based program are you using? Because many of the ones I read, Office of Adolescent Health, none of them worked. What program are you using?
This is Ashley Capucci with the Hillsborough County School District.
So we also have looked at several curriculums that state they were evidence-based, but really in order to embed an evidence-based curriculum, you have to teach it from cover to cover. Our sexual health education is only 8 days nine days now in high school and 8 days in middle school. So we cannot cover it cover to cover if we bought a curriculum. So what we did was just really align with our policy, use the data to drive instruction, and then really talk about how we're going to meet the needs for all of our students within that curriculum. And what we'll do is we'll use whatever evaluation tools that we can to over time make it that evidence-based. So right now it's evidence-informed, and so we'll collect that. But any evidence-based program, you do have to teach it cover to cover.
This is Lindsay Grove, who teaches health sciences at USF St. Pete.
I'm trained in one of those curriculum, which is HipTeens. And HipTeens actually had an extremely high effectiveness rating. And it was a brief intervention. It was 4 sessions and then 2 booster sessions. And it was particularly focused on girls. But participants had significant reductions in sexual partners, vaginal intercourse, as well as just overall intercourse. And actually, we had a 50% reduction in teen pregnancy. And there was actually findings to show that there was an increase in secondary sexual abstinence. And this is a comprehensive sex ed curriculum. And I would say, too, you know, I think, you know, drug abuse is an interesting sort of, I think, comparison, because, you know, we do want to teach our kids about the dangers of drugs, obviously, but with the same thing around comprehensive sex ed, we also want to understand sort of the key motivators that motivate people to make risky decisions, right? And we need to educate them to look for trigger behaviors and provide skills for them to be able to reduce risk.
I believe Mr. Kempel had
sure.
Thanks. So a couple of things. First, some of the STDs can't be stopped by condoms. I mean, that's just a fact. Some of them can't be stopped by, they're just skin-to-skin contact. I heard Advocates for Youth mentioned a number of times. Probably most of the people in this room don't recognize or don't know that Advocates for Youth was scheduled to be introduced in Hillsborough County Schools in August of last year. The reason it wasn't introduced in August of last year is because somebody gave it to me and I looked at it and I took it to the administration and to the school board. And they threw Advocates for Youth out because it was too political, it was too pro-abortion, and it was too pro-promotion of the LGBT lifestyle. So I wouldn't use Advocates for Youth as my authority. And also on that HHS site, I was at a conference not too long ago, and I'm almost certain that the majority of those curricula that are recommended on the HHS site were evaluated by the authors. So I don't trust the validity of those either.
That was Terry Kempel, president of the conservative group Community Issues Council.
I said my name's Carly Kinn. I'm a failed product of abstinence-only sex education, and now I am very passionate about education for women in every area of sexual health. So my question is, with abstinence-only education, how are you providing tools in your curriculum to help young women protect themselves from sexual assault, both at home and from their peers?
So I presented a curriculum to Hillsborough County Schools, and it was wall-to-wall. So they could have started with part of it and then added other components as time went on, but it was rejected. Part of the reason, because it was wall-to-wall, there was a cost involved. I don't think anything's too expensive for our kids, but there was a cost involved. And also because there were a few of the lessons that weren't approved of. So there were enough lessons in this that people could have used, teachers could have used whatever lesson they wanted and not had to use any of the quote, objectionable lessons. This curriculum has been used in Weld County, Colorado for 5 years, and they've seen a 23% reduction in teen pregnancy. Now, I want you to hear that. 23% reduction in teen pregnancy, that's measured. The best that we've heard, I went to the HECAT site, which is the evaluation tool the CDC has, and then I followed it to a video, and in the video, the speaker said the best result we've had is 5.1%. But, you know, in Hillsborough County, that's 220,000 students, so that's a big absolute number. 23% is a lot better than 5.1%.
That was Terry Kempel, president of Community Issues Council. Up next is Ashley Capucci, physical education supervisor for Hillsborough Schools.
We really have designed a curriculum that's free of scare or shame tactics. And so when we looked at curriculums that were out there, some of them did have our students putting tape on multiple people's arms and showing how dirty you were and how you would get an STD if you had multiple sexual partners. Again, we are a large district and we do have students who have been raped, molested, and so we wanted to make sure that that student who's sitting in our seat, who may have experienced assault of some sort, does not feel excluded and knows that they're not scarred for life, that they can have a turnaround point. So with the committee, we really dove into each lesson and wanted to make sure that it was not going to, whatever curriculum we were using, was not going to be shame tactic or fear-based for our students.
I believe Mr. Kemple has.
I'll be quick with this. And I appreciate that, Ashley. But the reality is, every one of the lessons that was offered had more than one lesson that could be used for the same purpose. So there was no need to use the few lessons that you objected to if you wanted to just pull those out and use the alternative lessons. So I just don't see that as a rational or a reasonable argument.
That's Terry Kemple, president of Community Issues Council. He was one of five panelists at Tampa Tiger Bay Club 3 days ago. And we're hearing a conversation about Hillsborough County Public Schools testing a sex education curriculum in certain schools. Terry Kemple's position is that it should be an abstinence-only curriculum, and the other panelists think that there should be a more comprehensive sex education curriculum. What do you think? We're going to get into the last segment here. We'll hear most of it. We won't hear all of it, but I'm going to put the whole video up on our website today in about an hour or two. And you're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa. It's 12:56 in the afternoon. My name is Sean Canan. I'm the host of Midpoint Monday. Let's go back to this discussion about Hillsborough County Public Schools testing a sex education curriculum in certain schools.
Hi, my name's Michael Isaac. What criteria, if any, do you have for determining which teachers are going to get the opportunity to teach sex education? And I ask that question because earlier this week, the assistant principal in one of the public schools in Pasco County was sentenced to 35 years in federal prison for possession of pornography and having multiple relationships with his students. And in the worst case scenario, he's HIV positive. So the media alerted the public to those unknown victims to go and get tested. Are you not creating a breeding ground potentially for sexual predators?
Ashley Cappucci is going to respond. She's with Hillsborough County Schools.
So as a district, we want to make sure that our teachers are highly trained and highly qualified. So they do, for our high schools, they currently are dual certified in health and physical education, because when we're teaching sexual health or comprehensive health, that's what we teach in our district, really the health standards lie in our content. And so when we also bring it down to eighth grade, those are some of the things that we will have to bring to the table. Right now they are certified teachers, but we want to make sure that they have the training behind to take out their personal beliefs and bias, and also that they know that there are potential questions they'll get from students that we don't want to lead them down the wrong path.
Hi there. Thank you all for being here. Deborah Belanti. I'm a mother of a child in elementary school, a girl. And to me, consent and boundaries is really important. I actually have a niece who was sexually assaulted this school year at one of our high schools. Fortunately, she had a good connection with her parents and told them. They went to the state attorney's office. They arrested him because he also assaulted two other girls at the school. So I want to make sure that consent and boundaries is anything that we teach. But my question is not that. My question is, Mr. Kemple, can you please tell me what your background is that you actually can form curriculum for our school district? I'd like degree. I need to know what your degree is.
Like I said, I've been doing what I do for 25 years. I've been Do you want to shake your head, or do you want to listen to my answer? Thank you very much. No, I don't have a degree. There are a lot of people who don't have degrees. Bill Gates doesn't have a degree. Should he not be in the computer business? I mean, that's a ridiculous question. I've got 25 years building a PhD on the street in dealing with children. I've got, like I said, I've got five daughters, I've got 13 grandchildren, and I've got eight great-grandchildren. So I have probably more experience with kids than most people except teachers. One of the things that my experience has shown me is, I'm going to go back to the LGBTQ. So if those letters aren't in the curriculum, that doesn't mean the people who identify as LGBTQ are marginalized. It doesn't mean that they're left out, because the curriculum should be for everybody. What's happened in Pasco County is, now that they've created a special class, LGBTQ, to go along with their bathroom policy, the number of kids in a recent survey that was done using the YRBS, 20% of the kids said they're somewhere on the LGBTQ spectrum. The standard nationally is 5%.
Well, that's Terry Kemple speaking on Friday. He's president of the Community Issues Council, a conservative group that wants sex education to be abstinence only. We also heard from four other panelists at this Tampa Tiger Bay Club meeting. They were in favor of a more comprehensive sex education. Michael writes in saying, listening to this guy just proves that most religion is just full of bad ideas. And if you would like to comment, you can leave me a voicemail. It's 813-238-8001, extension 114. I'll play your message next show. What do you think? Should sex ed be abstinence only or more comprehensive? Thanks to everyone who called in, and thanks to everyone who texted in, that is. And you can join the conversation on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at WMNF News. Thanks to Frank Knox for helping us out today. I'm Sean Canaan. I'll be out next Monday, but tomorrow at noon, your hero, Mark Bureau, will host Midpoint Tuesday. Stay tuned now for Latino 54. That's coming up after NPR headlines on WMNF, Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, and Lakeland. Thanks so much for listening.